And we welcome you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shopto, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Tara Wellman from Birds on the Black and Tara Wellman on Twitter. We have some Cardinal news to talk about, which is why we're here. Otherwise, we would have just taken another week off. But the Cardinals had a postseason press conference and told us nothing, which is why we're going to sit here and talk for probably 30 minutes about the nothing that they told us. But Tara, I think the first point of this whole discussion needs to be, are you enthused about the St. Louis Cardinals right now?
So enthused. You know, there was a lot of disconnect between, I think, what was said about kind of the reaction to the team, whether it's from the fans or from the media, some of the questions that were asked, just the ownership's sort of oblivion that they live in about this team and kind of how it's viewed in St. Louis, much less, I think, maybe to take it a step further, in baseball right now. And maybe that's, I'm not sure I can really say that without having an outsider's perspective to corroborate, mm-hmm. because I can only speak from my own perspective. But it was a little bit tone deaf, I think, in some of the comments that were made about how the fans are actually feeling and how enthused they are and how there isn't any sort of disgruntled feelings about what is or isn't happening with the team. And, you know, I get that coming off of the season that they had, making it as far as they did, feeling like that was quite an accomplishment in and of itself. Maybe you don't go into that press conference expecting the barrage of, okay, yeah, but how do you get better? But at the same time, you look at the team in the shape that it ended the season, and I think it's impossible not to think, okay, how do we get better? And to assume that the fans are just supposed to kind of sit quietly by and appreciate the product that's on the field because of the results or because they just are supposed to because they're fans is, like I said, a little tone deaf. And to say, no, I actually think the fans are enthused really just showcases there's a bit of a lack of understanding of kind of what the commentary is from the fan base right now.
On the in other news, Bill DeWitt obviously does not know about Twitter.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah, it does not have a burner account on there. Yeah, it is, you know, over the last couple of years, especially last year, there was, especially in the offseason or the postseason press conference, this idea of urgency, this idea of we've missed the playoffs, we know we need to get back there. And you can argue whether their actions matched up with the words, but there did seem to be this idea of, yes, we need to get better. And now it's like, hey, we made the playoffs. Y'all are great with us making the playoffs, right? So what else do we really need to do? This is a playoff team now. I don't know if they feel like they've reset the clock and everybody's hunky-dory with it. I mean, obviously people are happier with this last year's team than they were the two or three years before that. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're happy with it. You know, there are a lot of places to fix, the places that they could work on. And, you know, the obvious one is the offense. And it is interesting. I mean, it's a totally different discussion to worry about whether they should go out and get another bat or something like that, which they had their opportunities to do last offseason, but we don't need to rehash Bryce Harper again. But to just say everybody's going to just kind of, yeah, we had everybody didn't, they had the trouble getting used to Jeff Albert, but everybody's going to be great next year. Without having some sort of reason for that, more than just, yeah, we think everybody's going to rebound. Yeah, Matt Carpenter's going to, yeah, he was terrible this year, but he's going to be better next year. Without saying, and I don't expect them to get a detail, but hey, we've looked at some things. We can see why that Matt Carpenter will be better next year. Just kind of, it did sound of feel like they were just putting it out there as a, just trust us, things will be better next year.
Yeah, it's a little strange, the situation that they find themselves in part because I think to some extent you could say that this team overachieved based on the underachieving of individual players. But I also think that it's an interesting situation for them this season as far as the front office goes, because they sort of locked themselves in to the team that they have, at least at the core, unless they're willing to make some pretty drastic changes, which would be pretty out of character for what this front office has done. So, of course, we're talking about, you know, hanging on to Dexter Fowler. We're talking about the contract for Matt Carpenter and for Paul Goldschmidt. And then you have guys like Jack Flaherty, who are kind of hanging out there like, this is a pretty important piece of this team. Let's make sure that he doesn't you know, spend the best years of his career somewhere else. And that hasn't been done yet either. So there's a lot of money tied up in the guys that they decided maybe prematurely were going to be the core of this team. And because of that, it's a sort of a weird situation to be in, to try to upgrade, to try to make those significant moves. So I guess to some extent, I understand why they would come into this postseason press conference without sort of the laundry list that they had last year and without any sort of specifics about what they were going to hope to do or try to do or where they were going with any sort of external pieces that they hope to bring in. They did, you know, sort of John Mozeliak, as he always does, was careful to leave room for that in saying, look, we don't want to get too specific about who's going to play where and what the roles are going to be, because we don't know who's going to be here. But he was also not clear on which options they might pursue. And I think someone, it might have been Derek Gould, even asked what positions on the field they could upgrade. And John Mozeliak acknowledged, like, that's a really hard question to answer because we're sort of locked in to some of these decisions we've already made. So I think that made it a little uncomfortable to try to talk about getting better in any way other than just to say these players that we've kind of put all our eggs in one basket with, they need to just be better. And that's not a particularly encouraging thought going into the offseason, except that most of them were pretty bad. I mean, when you think about these guys, now the glass half empty part of this is that we're talking about guys that may be on the back end of their career age-wise, right? We're not talking about guys that are still developing and still growing and still figuring it out. But I would be hesitant to say that means they can't make any adjustments to being better than they were last year. So if you look at Matt Carpenter, I mean, it would be pretty hard to be a whole lot worse. So hopefully some better is a reasonable expectation. I think Paul Goldschmidt expects to be better next year, even though there were some, you know, of those counting stats that seemed to add up somehow at the end of the year. I don't think he was really satisfied with the inconsistency. I think Paul DeJong is in a similar situation where he was great at times last year, made some significant progress, but just completely fell off the map towards the end of the season, in part maybe because there's not a great backup at shortstop, which is another thing we could talk about at some point. So he had to play all those innings, or at least they felt like he had to play all those innings. And there are lots of conversations we had about the outfield, right? So there are ways that the guys on this roster can actually improve. And whether that's Jeff Albert figuring something out, or whether it's just putting in some different work, whether it's learning how to hit a breaking ball, just don't tell Harrison Bader that. You know, there are ways for this roster to get better. So I don't think that's an unfair statement. I think John Mozeliak took a lot of heat by basically saying we can get better by these guys being better. And he's not wrong. It's just a risky play to kind of hope that that's what's going to happen, rather than kind of moving the pieces a little bit in a way that's not just shuffling the deck chairs, as we've said so often, and hoping for the best.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that there's not a whole lot that John Mozeliak can really do without being completely out of character. I mean, if the Cardinals wanted to spend some money, and we can get into the discussions that they had about payroll and things of that in a minute, but if they wanted to, you know, be more of a Dodgers, Yankees type of spender, then yeah, there's some things they could do. If they wanted to be creative with their trading, but you know, again, they've used a lot of the trade chips that they have. And a lot of the other ones, like Harrison Bader or Tyler O'Neill, or people that might have some value because they've shown that they can do something at the major league level, are kind of at the low point of their value right now. And so what does that good does that do you? I mean, you could trade you could trade Harrison Bader for a couple of prospects if you wanted to, but they probably wouldn't be great prospects. And all you're doing is just trying to free up some of the logjam that's in the outfield, because still, to be fair, there is a huge logjam there that needs to be relieved in some form or fashion. But it's very funny to hear John Mozeliak say, well, we don't know who's going to be here next year, when, yeah, we kind of do. I mean, it feels like there's 95% of this roster, unless something drastic happens, it's going to be, you know, this opening day roster is going to be basically the same as what the endings of the season were, except for Marcell Ozuna, who's going to go somewhere else, and Michael Wacha, who's going to go somewhere else. You know, other than that, it doesn't feel like that the organization is going to do much. They did say that they're, you know, looking to bring Adam Wainwright back, but boy, that really feels like that may be the move of the offseason, and that's, well, it's kind of boring for us people that are trying to make some content in the winter. There's just not much there if that's all that they're going to do, and that's all they could even be, you know, rumored to do.
Well, we could spend a significant amount of time breaking down Adam Wainwright's s'mores technique.
Which is fair. It was a really interesting technique. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I felt you do the double marshmallows, the double chocolate, and then you smush it all down like that. It just gets all over everywhere. I'm not sure that's really...
Isn't that the purpose of a s'more, though, to get everywhere?
I mean, I don't know. I'm a little weird about
I'm not a big
sticky stuff on my hands. So I like just the right ratio so that you get the marshmallow, you get the chocolate, you get the graham cracker, but it doesn't just ooze all over everything.
Where are you on the lightly toasted part, though?
I'm very much a lightly toasted person.
Okay.
Yeah. I want it warm all the way through and like golden brown on the outside, but none of this like stick it in the fire and then blow it off nonsense.
This is what you're going to get if we don't get anything else.
So I'm very enthused about these s'mores. Not about the team though. No. Okay. Back to the Adam Wainwright free agency thing. It's not an exciting deal as far as what it does to change the team, because it doesn't change the team. It's fine in what it is. And look, we all know that Adam Wainwright's my guy. I would love to see him have another successful season. I would love to see them, you know, maybe make it to the World Series, not just to the NLCS, with Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina perhaps riding off into the sunset together, although we know Yadi's not really going to retire. There's plenty to talk about as far as Adam Wainwright is concerned, but that's not going to change the dynamic of this team. And I think what's frustrating for a lot of people, and we sort of knew this was going to be the case, right? Is that the front office is going to play on the "we made it to the NLCS" part, and maybe kind of leave out the "we got absolutely destroyed" in the NLDS part, or in the NLCS part rather. Blame the cold medicine for anything that I say that doesn't make any sense.
I wish I had that excuse.
But the way they went out is what everyone's going to remember, and for good reason, because the way they went out is the problem we saw with his team a lot during the season at different times. So kudos to Benjamin Hockman for the straight up "how does the offense get better" question in the press conference. Loved that. And I think that's going to be the recurring theme throughout the offseason. I mean, there are things you could do. You could go big. And I know that a lot of fans have kind of thrown the Cardinals in the Mookie Betts circle, which I can't even imagine the pieces it would take to get that trade done. Probably wouldn't be a lot of happy fans when they realize how much it's going to take to get that trade done. But the same could be said for Francisco Lindor and some of those guys that would instantly make an impact on this team, and that would be great. I just don't know how they pull that off unless they go so far out of character, which may be a good thing, but what they lack in creativity, they seem to make up for in what's the new buzzword, continuity, with the people that they continue to hire from within. And as much as they might try to deny it, the same old game plan does get stale, and it does get a little bit predictable. And that's why I said I think this goes a little further than just sort of what Cardinals fans are saying or seeing in the organization, to what other baseball teams, other baseball organizations and fans are seeing from the Cardinals organization. And it looks a little bit like they're kind of just resting on their laurels, which sounds like a huge critique that everyone that was a part of that press conference would push back dramatically against, but I'm not sure it's wrong.
Well, I don't see where the evidence is that they're not. Again, I agree that they've painted themselves into a corner to the point that they're kind of fortunate that they did make the playoffs, because if they hadn't, I still don't know what they would have been able to do. Because even though if they had missed the playoffs for a four straight year, they're not going to go spend the money for an Anthony Rendon or a Gerrit Cole. You know, maybe they'd be more interested in playing around in the margins than they seem to be. But I just don't know. You know, they've painted themselves with the Carpenter extension, with, you know, you could argue the Miles Michaelis extension that they didn't necessarily have to do, with Goldschmidt's extension, which we still remains to be seen whether it was a good idea or not. There are a lot of pieces that even if they had salary flexibility, you know, who are they going to replace? How are they going to replace these people? You know what I'm saying? They've got pieces at every part, and it goes back to what we've said, I think, for two or three years now. The Cardinals have a lot of good players at positions. They just don't have any great players or enough great players, if you want to say that Goldschmidt is, which, again, we didn't get to see that this year, really. You know, you've got Jack Flaherty as an ace, but, you know, what do you have behind him? You've got good pitchers, but not necessarily, you know, top-notch pitchers. And all of that's going to, you know, it has the tendency to come back and bite you. You know,
I think not to pull an Alex and interrupt you, but I think for me, I wonder how much of this comes back to this idea that the Cardinals want to think that they're still on the cutting edge of kind of new baseball and analytics impacting their decisions, and yet they're building a team the way you built a team to win 10 years ago. You're not building a team to compete with what the Dodgers are doing or with what the Astros are doing, or even with the team that the Nationals put on the field as far as their pitching is concerned. And they went out and made the moves at the All-Star break, even when they were not even considered like playoff contenders for most of that part of the season. They went out and made the moves at the trade deadline to fix some of the problems that they had. It feels like the Cardinals are like five steps behind those best teams in baseball, and they don't think they are. And that's why I think it's so frustrating to watch, is that yes, the Cardinals have won World Series titles, particularly maybe in 2011, although with Albert Pujols on the team, you almost can't even say that, where they didn't have four or five or six deep in the lineup that could have been the star of the team like the Astros do, or like the Dodgers do, or like the Yankees do, or whatever. Pick one of those teams, right? But you look at the teams that have won in the postseason, particularly at the World Series in the last two or three or four years, I mean, you're looking at those teams. You're looking at the teams that are built not just to get in and see what happens, but to win in the postseason. And that's what the Cardinals continue to be hesitant to do. So all this talk about how they want to be on the cutting edge and they want to advance baseball and they want to be, you know, whatever, that's fine. But the proof is in the pudding. And what we're seeing is that they're still building teams based on a version of baseball that doesn't exist right now.
Yeah, and I feel like we've talked about this before, but it feels like they've almost taken the wrong lessons from 2004 and 2006.
Yeah.
You know, 2005, that whole stretch. 2004, 2005, they put two teams on the field, you know, 105 wins, 100 wins, probably the best teams, especially that 2004 team, that we've seen wear Cardinal red in a long, long time, you know, maybe in our entire lifetimes, the way they played. And then they lose the World Series or they lose the NLCS the next year. But then the 2016, which is a lot of the same players, but, you know, they stumble into the playoffs to some degree, 83 wins, and they wind up running the whole thing because Jeff Weaver became great. And, you know, they got some contributions here and there. And it's like, oh, we don't need to put together a great team. We just need to find a way to win just enough. And that's really dangerous, because if you don't win just enough, you know, if you don't get the breaks, then you sit at home for 3 years like we've seen.
It's kind of like the plan being this group just get better, mm-hmm. right? It's the same. There's no safety net.
Right. I mean, and, you know, what happens if Adam Wainwright comes back and has a year like a four-year pitcher has? You know, I mean, if he doesn't pitch as well as he did this year, what's the plan? You know, what's the plan if Carlos Martinez can't make the adjustment back to the starting rotation? What's the plan if Dakota Hudson looks more like his FIP than his ERA? You know, what are the plans? Because you've got guys like, you know, maybe Genesis Cabrera and Daniel Ponce de Leon, but are those, you know, those are fifth starter guys, if that. They're guys that can fill in if you need them, but if you're relying on these guys, you're not going to go very far. You know, that's, you know, what happens if, you know, you get a bit of regression in the defense. If you don't go from, you know, from last to first, you go back to fourth or fifth in defense and errors and things of that nature, which is still good. But, you know, if you're playing on the margins, that can be enough to, you know, lose you games that you need to win. So you're right. It feels like they're like, we got here, everything's going to be fine, we're just going to go forward. And again, maybe that's because they have no other option to really say. I mean, and, you know, maybe they'll surprise us, but, you know.
It is November. Right. I mean, they could do more than they let on.
But it feels like, I mean, well, one, this is a front office that gets done with their stuff before by the end of November. So, you know, we're talking about.
Watch out for that Adam Wainwright contract, because that's when you know.
Yeah, that's it. And we haven't heard of anybody, you know, dangling a, you know, superstar at rock bottom prices to some degree, which is kind of what we got. Not that Luke Weaver and Carson Kelly were nothing for Arizona. They turned into really good players out there. Kind of happens when you get and give them a chance to play, especially a catcher. But, you know, I don't see one of those options out there. You're right. Mookie Betts is not going to come for Daniel Ponce de Leon and Tommy Edman or anything like that. You know, Francisco Lindor is going to take probably the whole infield to get him to some degree.
I mean, that's fine. He can come. Yeah, I mean,
you know, that's fine. You know,
just put him and Paul Goldschmidt on the infield. They'll be fine.
I can't see any problems with that point. So, you know, I don't know. Again, we're just kind of in this. I think we're in a bit of a holding pattern to some degree, and I don't know that it'll ever change. It may be longer than this, but you do have, you know, you've got 2 years and the Dexter Fowler contract comes off. You've got 2 years and the Matt Carpenter contract comes off. You've got next year and Yachty's contract comes off. And even if they bring him back, I can't believe they bring him back at $20 million a year. Right. If you're adding in an outfielder like Dylan Carlson, who's going to play, hopefully give you excellent production at a very cheap rate. So there are, you know, on the horizon, yeah, I can see where they might be able to get into a spot where they can then do some things in the offseason. It doesn't mean they will, but at least you could make the argument. Now,
give us something to talk about anyway.
That would help too. But, you know, right now, I don't know. It just, you wonder how much of this calculus is formed by this idea that the Cardinals won the NL Central, and how much it should have been formed by the fact that, you know, the Brewers, well, almost won the NL Central, and the Cubs could have won it if things hadn't just kind of imploded on them. And, you know, as of right now, the Cardinals are probably the favorite in the NL Central, but I know, like Alex said in Chirps, it's better to be the juggernaut than the underdog. And they don't seem to ever want to be that juggernaut. They never want to add to strengths or, you know, kind of go over the top to guarantee that this is a team that's not a team that might contend for the NL Central, but should contend for a World Series. They don't seem to feel like the value's there to do that.
It's interesting thinking about how this team would even play as the favorite, as the team that other teams are afraid to play in some sense, because they haven't really been that in a while. And honestly, they swept the Cubs in that four-game set at Wrigley and looked like a team that could be that, and then kind of fell on their face at the end of the season. So, you know, there's not a lot of track record. As much as this team wants to talk about how they believed in each other and they knew that they had a good team, and look, they did. They made it past a very good Braves team. It got weird, and I'm still not sure how that happened, but they did it. And then they again fell on their face against the Washington Nationals. So this isn't to take away from anything they accomplished this year. Alex and I, you brought up Chirps, have said multiple times that, like, we're pretty satisfied with the way that the year ended up based on the roller coaster of a season that it was. But that being satisfied with the way that last season ended doesn't mean that that's a satisfactory way to start the next season, because there are still some holes, right? And every year you're going to be looking at, okay, that was that. We did that. Now let's move on. And how do we address some of the things that became an issue last season? At least it feels like that's how they should be addressing it. And simultaneously, it feels like they're more interested in kind of maintaining the status quo as opposed to pushing the boundaries. And that's not a great feeling to give your fan base and then tell them that they should be enthused. Right.
And as a final point on, I guess, on some of this, the Cardinals, they got into the payroll flexibility lines that they always have, and basically said they have no flexibility this time around. But you do look at this and you say, look, the Cardinals are playing at what, $160 million, which is 40, 50, 60 million, I think, under the luxury tax. So, you know, in that regard, you could see them spending more. You know, Bill DeWitt threw out the line that they are sixth in payroll and 11th in revenue, which some people didn't necessarily buy that, especially given the, you know, $1 billion contract and all the things that are going up next door. And there's a lot of ways you could break it down, but, you know, the revenues have gone up. What did I see? It was about 250, 300 million since 2001, and payroll had gone up about 30, 40 million. You know, it's not exactly, you don't expect a one-to-one, but it does feel like their spending power could be more. But as Bill DeWitt says, this is not a wildly lucrative business. I'm not sure which business he was referring to, if he was referring to all the buildings and the apartments that are going up. Although if you look at the price tag on those apartments, that's a wildly lucrative business. I know, Tara, that you have obviously looked into becoming at One Cardinal Way, and you
right,
know,
right? Yeah. If anyone will ever buy my condo, clearly that's my
right.
Next step.
I mean,
in
it's
life.
Only what $2,000 a month or something. So I, you know, I'm sure that that's reasonable for people of Bill DeWitt status. Okay. But anyway, I just, you know, I don't know. I don't want the Cardinals to just go out and spend money willy-dilly, because that's, I mean, we've seen what they do with it to some degree. I mean, we see the Matt Carpenter extension. We see the, you know, some of the things that they've spent money on, like Dexter Fowler, that haven't necessarily worked out. But boy, it just feels like it would be really nice at least once. And we had this discussion last year for them to use that financial power that they apparently have, even though they don't want to acknowledge it. And, you know, put a little bit of thump on this team, whether it's hitting or pitching, but just enough to bring back that mystique, if you will, of that idea of teams don't want to play the Cardinals, which has been gone since, well, 2015 at least, and maybe beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, again, I feel like it's just this disconnect, this little bit of being tone deaf to what the fan experience is. And I guess maybe when you're in that position, you're far enough removed from what the fan experience is that you don't get it when people try to explain it. But look, if it's about the money that is being spent on the team, including the fan experience, I would much rather see a superstar play every night for the price of my ticket than to have 47 different kinds of hot dogs that are all $12 each. Like, I don't care about that. I would rather see the guys on the field that have the potential to be the best in the game. Like, the Cardinals aren't going to bring in Mike Trout, but why don't they have a Mike Trout? Why don't the Cardinals, one of the most prestigious teams in all of baseball, care about having a guy that's one of the best players in all of baseball? Yes, they have Jack Flaherty, and he has the potential to be that kind of guy on the pitching side. But the point is, I'm spending my money to be part of that experience, not for the extra stuff I can pay for inside the ballpark when I get there. I'm spending my money as a fan of this team because I want to see the guys on the field and I want to be able to, you know, talk about the team that can win the World Series. Like, I don't know. It just, that's why I think there's this disconnect, because they talk about all these things they're doing around the park and the new food that's available and the new terrace or the new this or the new ticket packages. And that's great. But I think Cardinals fans, maybe uniquely, I don't know, because I've never been part of another fan base, actually want the players on the field to be the highlight of the experience, not the 17 different ice cream right. stands. And so it comes off as just incredibly disconnected from what fans want to talk about how to talk about the comparison between payroll and revenue when you know that they're making money because they're building entire sky rises across the street, and you know that there's a TV contract that kicks in that gives them even more money, and you know that they're like, it's the way that they're choosing to spend that revenue that comes off the wrong way. And it's not even, I don't think it even needs to be a, well, compared to other teams, we're spending lots of, it just needs to be an awareness of what the fans actually want from the St. Louis Cardinals and what the ownership and the management is doing to get them there. And that's why it's frustrating, I think, as a fan to spend my hard-earned money to turn around and watch them say, yeah, well, I think we're doing enough.
And rankings in Major League Baseball, especially when it comes to spending, are not necessarily the best place to do that, because, you know, what, half the teams aren't spending anything. So you may be sixth right. in payroll, but that doesn't mean you're actually spending a lot of, you know, like, wow, you just happen to want to win this year, you know, which is more than some teams right. can say. So,
yeah,
I agree. It's funny to me because I've always felt like ownership in the front office, we're a little bit better about knowing what this fan base wanted. Now, of course, it's obviously easy to do that when you're racking up division titles and postseason appearances. So maybe that was part of it. But, you know, if nothing else, the front office has done a good job of, you know, listening to us. You know, if nothing else, we come in every once in a while and complain about stuff. So they should have some idea there. Or we're complaining in podcasts or blog posts that somebody reads. I don't know if John Mozeliak does, but they tell him about it.
His people
yeah, I mean, you know, hi, John. you know, I don't know. It's just a little bit strange to see this after, you know, and I just not even acknowledge it, you know, say, okay, yeah, hey, we had a good year. We understand that it didn't end the way we wanted to. It could have been, we could have been better, but, you know, we're going to try to, you know, try to be better for next year. And it, we can understand why people might, you know, because you've got to acknowledge the fact that TV, you know, TV ratings are down. You've got to acknowledge the fact that a playoff game didn't sell out in St. Louis. I mean, even if you want to come up with some excuses for it, I think you still have to acknowledge the fact that it happened. And that might mean that the Tate fan base isn't completely as enthused as you think they are.
Yeah, I think they should always acknowledge that. I don't know. It just, it's a weird thing to try to kind of analyze from never having been in that position. But I feel like to some extent, their goal should always be to improve on what was a weakness the year before. Like, that shouldn't be this novel idea that when it's expressed either by the media or by the fan base, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. How are you not satisfied? Because we did this last year. Like, yes, that's the way this works, is that every year you should be trying to address where there were weaknesses, because that's what the business, like, that's what it all is. It's strange for me to watch kind of the pushback on this idea that, you know, they have things that they should be working on and that they should be improving. And maybe that's, me projecting a little bit that there is that same kind of pushback that I'm talking about, but I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are projecting it, so it's not just me. When really it should be kind of the expectation, right? When you want to prop yourself up as this organization that's always going to be competitive, that's always going to be in the running, that's always going to be part of the conversation, to then have a fan base that wants to see you prove it, that you want to always be in the conversation as one of the best teams in baseball, that should just be the expectation, not some, you know, crazy blogger universe that doesn't really exist in real life kind of made up thing.
And I mean, again, I never want them making decisions based on what happens on Twitter, because that's just not a good idea. But you still have to acknowledge that not everything is hunky-dory. The only time you get a pass in St. Louis, and even then it's kind of iffy, is if you win the World Series. You know, next year, okay, we'll see. You make the argument that you're going to bring stuff back. But if you don't win the World Series, you got to be trying to get better and, you know, not just maintaining the status quo. And that feels like what we're doing. I told Tara this would be a short one. We've gone long because that's the way it goes. Yeah, it's always Alex. Well,
he does that to me all the time.
I mean, if it wasn't for this, if we hadn't spent the time on the sports.
That's true. I did sort of rabbit trail.
It's probably the best content we've had. I can't, I don't know. I can't cut that out. So anyway, Tara and I.
We didn't even talk about the pinky up thing, the way that he's holding it. I mean,
Yeah.
Anyway. And I digress.
The laugh and
the laugh. That's where what got me.
I mean, that's and just the idea of s'mores for breakfast. I mean, that's a radical concept that I had honestly never actually ever occurred to me.
I think that the Cardinals need Adam Wainwright's genius in the front office, because clearly not the status quo with s'mores
and creative
for breakfast.
I mean, creative on getting stuff done. So you're not kidding. I mean, maybe he come back as a pitcher / advisor. I don't know how that works. Anyway, Tara and I will be back at some point in time, probably not next week, probably way closer to the winter meetings. And we can talk about all the things the Cardinals aren't going to do when the GMs get together. But until then, that is Tara. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.